Well, two pianos are better than one. Audiences lap up the fun, and quite a few pianists and composers as well, judging from the amount of music has been written for piano duo. Putting that philosophy to the acid test is the Silver Garberg Piano Duo, who are back playing with the Christchurch Symphony Orchestra this weekend, Prelanx, rather vivacious concerto for two pianos, as part of the Europa concert conducted by Ben Northey. Husband and wife, Sivan Silver and Gil Garberg, were a big hit last time they came to Christchurch. Maybe that's because their close relationship means they're able to move their listeners emotionally. With performances in 50 countries across five continents, the duo is certainly the top of the game in terms of piano duos internationally. So all the more reason to appreciate them. I'm going to give you a treat, actually. Their recording of Mendelssohn's concertos, two of them, for piano, two pianos and orchestra, with the Bavarian Chamber Philharmonic and Christopher Hogwood, which has been called variously breathtaking, extremely exciting and brilliant. Judge for yourself. This is the end of the double concerto in E. We're listening to a performance by the Silver Garberg Piano Duo. That was the end of their recording of Mendelssohn's two concertos for piano and orchestra. We were listening to the concerto in E major. It was performed with the Chamber Philharmonic Orchestra of Bayreuth, and the conductor was Christopher Hogwood. And the two pianists, I think, are with me from Christchurch. Welcome back to Upbeat. How are you?
We are very well, thank you. Fantastic to be here.
I'm sorry you had a bit of a rush. You had a rehearsal this morning with the orchestra, did you?
The rehearsal will be tonight. We had a rehearsal just for the two of us.
Yeah. Well, we've just been listening to your recording, and before you came in, I just mentioned fantastic reviews you got for that Bavarian Chamber Philharmonic recording with Christopher Hogwood. The piano duo repertoire is just always so much fun. Is that why you decided initially you wanted to play as a duo?
We started because we wanted to try this repertoire. I mean, we did not plan to become a duo. We've both been on the path of a piano career, and we've already been a couple, so we wanted to share our love. And then we just felt like, let's try this piece and let's try this piece. So obviously some of them are orchestral pieces, some are fantastic, grandiose pieces, and some are very intimate, and we wanted to share this chamber doing on even on sometimes on one instrument. So yes, definitely the repertoire was a big motivation for us.
Well, there's plenty of it, right?
Yeah, there is much more than people think. And I think we will work all our life. We practice quite a lot, many, many hours a day.
I was reading that you practice 6 hours a day. Is that
right?
Yeah,
that's right. Yes, yes. And I don't think we'll ever finish the repertoire there is.
It's someone like Brahms even took all his pieces for chamber music pieces as quartets and quintets and turned them into piano duos.
Yes, yes, right.
Even the symphonies and the Requiem.
Did he?
Yes.
This year we play, it's quite interesting, we play a new version of Brahms' first piano quartet for piano, four hands and orchestra. Because Brahms himself wrote a four hands version as well.
So who did he have? He must have had somebody with him. Was it Clara who played these pieces with himself?
Well, Brahms especially was very enthusiastic about two pianos and four hands. And there are quite a few letters where he writes about this is, I like my four hands version even better than the original.
And who was his piano duo partner, do you know?
I don't think he always played with Clara. I think in this age, in 19th century,
they had lots of partners?
They mentioned, like, today we are very purist. We think, oh, a piece has to be in this way. But in the 19th century and also before, the composer used to use the same material, and they used to change between the instrumentation. Bach was changing keys according to the instrumentation he had. If they like to do something, they usually do it. So I don't really think Brahms actually was performing each of the pieces he wrote for piano four hands.
He just enjoyed doing it.
The big actually piano duo of 19th century is probably Liszt and Saint-Saëns, who played piano duo for 30 years.
And do you think it was a competitive thing perhaps between some of these people, that they enjoyed the fact that you could egg each other on, make each other do even more difficult things?
Maybe. I mean, the Mendelssohn Concerto, Mendelssohn Concerto, he played it with Moscheles, who was their pianist in this time, you know, the big technical guy who could do everything.
Yeah.
And he actually, the not the one you just played, the other concerto, Mendelssohn wrote it, and then Moscheles sat down and made it even more difficult. And it's crazily difficult.
So the idea is everything you can do, I can do better.
Yeah, that's right.
But I think with Liszt and Saint-Saëns, they didn't have this problem because they appreciated each other very much. And Liszt obviously was the dominant, major, great virtuoso. And Saint-Saëns was also much younger. So Liszt said about Saint-Saëns that he's the best organist of his time. Which means the best pianist is still Liszt, obviously, but it was still a great compliment.
He was Kapellmeister with 13 Saint-Saëns, so he was quite a spectacular pianist.
You mean from the age of 13?
Yes.
Was he?
Yeah, yeah.
God,
Saint-Saëns
extraordinary,
was
isn't
one
it?
Of the biggest prodigies, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we always think about
Mozart. You think he wouldn't be big enough to play the organ?
Yeah, no,
at the age of 13,
he was,
I mean.
Quite phenomenal.
And he also played the complete Beethoven sonatas to that age.
Yeah.
So he said, we did not hear it.
Look, on your website, you talk about the great but often underappreciated art of piano duo playing. Why is it underappreciated, do you think?
It's very tricky. I think some people, both from the music lovers, the amateurs, and also from the very professionals, have a very specific image of what piano duo can be. And these images can go to different directions, but mostly, very often, people forget it is just a wonderful medium to basically do everything. It's possible to play piano duo for any kind of music. I mean, as the piano, of course, is already one of the greatest instruments in this sense, that it can go to all registers, all kind of colors. It can be very intimate, very orchestral. It can be a great accompanying instrument, and it can be, of course, a great singing instrument and so on. So when we have two pianos, we have even more possibilities, at least those. But it's very hard to do it with two, especially when we share the same instrument or an instrument which is of the very same style.
This is probably because piano is something you create beautiful colors and sound by doing balancing between the voices. And if you listen to really great pianists and you're very much into that, you will hear that a really great pianist usually changes the relations between the voices while he's playing. And this is something that is done mostly on a subconscious level. But when you play together, you have to create it together. And this is a very, very, very interesting job for us.
It's intuitive. That's what you're saying, isn't it?
Yes.
It's a really intuitive.
So to create really great sound in two pianos or four hands, it's not like you can take two pianos and they will sit and it will be great. It just doesn't work, because you can really have to sit and balance. And sometimes we sit really chord by chord and find relations. Because the other problem is that there are many ways to make great balance. And if we don't feel exactly the same way, the same harmonic phrasing, the same kind of melody phrasing or the same beat, it won't sound very good. It won't sound not together. You wouldn't be able to say that this is not together. It just won't sound as beautiful as it can be.
So I think the piano is an instrument of an illusion. So yeah, we cannot actually sing because we don't have a sustained sound, but we can create it sound like this. Yeah. And we can make almost every possible color, but of course we don't even influence about how the color is made, because basically we just have a hammer that hits the string. We don't produce the sound like a singing sound in our own mouth or with blowing. So that means it's only the combination of many different tones that create a color. The color is not by a separate tone. You cannot say a difference even between an amateur and a professional if he plays one single tone. But the moment it's a chord, you can already say that.
I was just thinking it must make a huge difference that you spend so much time together. You're married, you live together, you have to study, have to practice, as you said, you know, at least 4 or 5 hours a day sometimes. And that emotional bond, doesn't that make your performances that much better?
Yes and no.
What's the no?
Well, it's not really related. Sometimes we can sit down and rehearse a lot of hours, and then we say, "Oh, I didn't see you at all this today." So it's not really, but because sometimes we fight in rehearsals, the fact that we are a couple is a good keeps us together in the duo.
Well, you can't do it without each other, and you've created this lifestyle, really, haven't you? Because you live together, you've got an amazing job. Have you still got the university job in Graz?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's one of the very few places in the world where you can be a piano duo as a professor.
Yes, yes. And we also have a kid, so that's...
That's right. How old's your boy?
Another job, yes.
I mean, we basically share all the greatest moments, all the high moments, all the preparation to the concert, of course, on the stage and then afterwards and so on. So we do share all this around the music. But normally when we play the music, we don't think about what the other does, rather just about imagining the music. And it has to happen. It has to happen with both of us at the same time. And we can work on the conscience level, saying, oh, let's try to achieve this, or why won't you achieve that? But when we play, we are not conscious anymore about who is doing what and how. You just have to live and experience the music in the same time. And, you know, it's a different sphere than our realistic world, when the music is a different dimension, so to say.
Sylvan Silver and Gil Garburg are our guests. They play together as a Silver-Garburg piano duo. And tomorrow night in Christchurch, the CSO and conductor Ben Northey, they play Poulenc's double concerto, which most people seem to think is one of the best around. What's your appreciation, your attitude to Poulenc?
Yeah. Well, it's really one of his best pieces. It's so colorful. It takes hundreds of elements actually from different composers. Lots of titats from almost everything, from Bach to jazz. You know, it's everything is there, and he puts that together. And the way he does it, it goes so fast. Like especially in third movement, every half a second, every 2 seconds, there is a new melody from a completely different style. And he succeeded in like making like a collage, like putting everything together. And then you see one picture, it's all full. The structure is fantastic. It's completely virtuosic, very highly virtuosic concerto, like you work really hard. And then it goes really fast. And this is very, very modern, very, you know, very sprightly, very sparkly. It's really a great piece.
And he also has moment of meditation and of gentleness and charm. You know, he's French and he has the French sonority, the chanson elements. You know, the most romantic, even though it's a very vivid piece.
Well,
it's got lots of contrasts.
In the 1930s, when jazz was becoming a big thing, and you can really feel that coming through. And I'm wondering, is there chances to improvise a bit? Does it give you opportunities to extemporize rather than have everything pinned down?
Not really. It's all happening so fast.
Yeah. You wouldn't be doing that.
There is not even a cadenza.
Yeah, and there is no. And the orchestra is also pretty much on top all the time. It's very, very cleverly written. It's very, very thin, very, very French, very brilliantly written, very crisp. Yeah, so they don't disturb us, but they're all the time actually putting in elements, which is great. So we look forward for tomorrow. That will be really great, and we always love to play with bands.
It's one of the most entertaining pieces. It has elements from, you know, from the classical pureness to the wild, as we say, jazzy or
almost Far Eastern, some
folk
of it.
Music, or even children street music.
Yeah.
So
I really
then
described
squish the whole thing in 20 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, to you, that's your speed. Well, I'm going to play a recording which is slightly more than 20 minutes, I think. Maybe not so much.
Well, maybe we play it faster, probably.
You probably do, because you have been doing this as a duo now for quite a long time, haven't you?
Yeah.
Well, it's one of the most popular concertos.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful piece.
Well, have a great time tomorrow night with the CSO.
Thank you
very much for coming in.
Our pleasure. Thank you so much.
Sivan Silva and Gil Garberg, and let's hear the final movement of the Poulenc they'll be playing tomorrow night with the CSO. Thank you. We've been listening to the finale of Poulenc's Double Concerto for Piano and Orchestra, two pianos, of course, and that recording came from Eric Lesage and Frank Braley, the two pianists with the Liège Philharmonic and Stéphane Deneuve. And on Saturday night, you can hear it performed by the Christchurch Symphony Orchestra. They'll be on in a program called Europa, Ravel, La Valse, also the Poulenc, some work by Piet, and also by Lutoslawski's Concerto for Orchestra. Ben Northey is conducting, and I think it's 7:30 p.m. kickoff.